Hello, everyone. Jeez, guys, we're going to be here tonight. But I want to remind you that I'm here to present your budget, not my budget.
All right, I think just for your information, 301 to 305 page.
Yes. Okay, there's not many changes from last year. One of the things that I changed over at the mileage.
Can we have everyone quiet, please, while the speaker is going?
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Over in the mileage and travel, last year we had 10,000, we're very close to 11,000 this year, so up to get up to $1,000 to 11,000. Some of it, the public liability insurance went up. That's what they gave me, and that nothing we had to do. FICA and retirement and life insurance. And another thing that went up just a little bit, last year on staff development, we had budgeted $14,000. However, the county executive gave to the county board budget $10,000 from our carryover. Give it to us, went to $24,000, and we are on pace probably to be about close to $20,000 this year. So I increased that to $20,000. One of the biggest changes was on the salaries. I increased the salaries, which they have been, I went back to 2006. 2006, the county board was making $6,000 per year plus insurance, which for a family at that time was about $22,000. So right now we're about 65, 26 per year. So I did bump that up a little bit, which that brings up in line with the other counties. The Racine County is right now is $7,000 a year, but they've been up going up every year. This year, I don't know what they're going to go to, but for last year, they got 7,000. And usually, they have an increase every year. This one, I just put an increase for the 2 years, so there will not be any increase next year. Basically, it's just for the full 2 years, the same thing. And that's pretty much it.
All right, any discussion?
Please approval.
A second. John?
I have questions. Okay. I didn't run for county board to ask for a raise, and so I asked we take out, I motion that we take out $17,521 for the raises.
Second.
All right, and that, just to clarify, that would keep it as is that what?
Yes.
All right, I don't know that we had a second to the motion.
I didn't get a second.
Wait, to his motion or to mine?
To
mine, so I did not get a second, so it's just, it's John's second.
All right.
Or John's motion.
So your proposal is to remove $17,000.
Yes.
All right, is there a discussion?
I want to comment on that.
Yeah.
If I can. Okay, I don't think any of us, I hope, none of us is doing this for the money. However, when you look at all the elected officials since 2006 that I went through and this year, the pay increased by 38%, and ours, when I say county board, decreased by many hundreds percent. And there was a study done which county board supervisor, on average, works puts in 600 hours per year. So even with this year, with the increase, basically, it comes out to be $12.50 an hour. To me, if county board supervisor is not worth that much money, there is a problem. Either that or they're not working any hours to put that in. Plus, even based on the previous years, this last term, everyone has been in more committees than previously, and has been pretty much more endless than that. So I think that's the right thing to do it. And again, our counterparts, they make a lot more money than this year. It's very be a list, actually, it's very conservative to increase that much money and not to increase it at all. That's it. Actually, it's not right. And we're not doing it for us. It's going to be the new board, where it could be all of us can come back or none of us can come back. So this one is for the new board. Does not affect us at all. So we're not getting a pay increase for us. And that's one of the reasons why I did not want to put it like an increase, an amount this year and then put a percentage of increase for next year, because it looks like we're doing for us. So that one will be for the people. Then make, they get elected next year, and for the 2 years that will be there.
Tim?
When I ran for county board, I didn't even know that we got a salary. And I was actually considering making a motion to reduce our salary just to show the people that we feel the hurt that they're having. And I feel like this increase goes the other way. And so I'm going to support the motion.
Eric? I just ran the numbers, and over last year, this would be a 14.9% increase over this current term, whatever you want to say it. So that's in my opinion, a really high increase when our employees got nowhere near that. So that's all.
Anyone else? Ian?
Just to respond on that, it's a 14.9 increase based on what we're getting last year. But also it's about a 15% increase. Actually, it's a decrease, but not even counting the insurance, is about a 15% increase over the last 17 years. On an average, everybody else, pretty much the smallest one, is they got 38.5% increase. So if you look at what was last year, 14%, and go back to that, it's 14% over 17 years, not counting the insurance, because the other one, their benefits went up too, not counting that. And again, if someone doesn't want it, that's fine. But that will give a chance for younger people maybe to get involved. And $12.50 an hour, if you put the hours, the minimum hours that on average a county board supervisor should do it, that's nothing. And we don't believe we're worth $12.50. Again, we should be there. Thank you.
All right, further discussion? Anyone? All right, we'll call for the vote. And the vote is to reduce the requested
roll
amount
call.
By 17,000. In other words, it would be the same as the last term, which was
$6,526 for county board supervisors and $13,502 for the chair.
All right. Dave?
Aye.
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 Kim?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Anything else?
Motion to approve the budget.
Second.
All right, motion to approve the county board budget as amended. Anyone else on the propositions? All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is the county executive's budget at 307-12.
Hello. Hi. Evening, everyone. Great to be here today. Here to present my budget in my office, and obviously we've gotten to see the whole budget, so it's great just to come and just share that my specific county board or county exec's budget had an increase of 1.8%. There's a modest decrease in a couple of funds that helped offset the class and comp changes that we had this year for our staff employees. So wanted to keep the increase as minimum as possible, but hopefully make sure my staff receive the increases that they deserve. So some of the other little lines, I did a modest increase of printing of about $250, and mileage went up about $250. try not to do mileage when it's within the county, but when I go out of county, I do usually. It doesn't happen that often, but a couple times that I have so far, I've submitted my travel receipts.
All right, discussion?
Move approval.
Is there a second? Who is the second?
Bill.
Discussion on the proposal? I'm seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item is the Corporation Council. Page 313, Joe.
Good evening, Supervisors. For those of you who don't know me, so this is the Corporation Council office budget. As I tend to say every year, it really is very much a static or status quo budget. If you look, you'll find there's very little change in it from last year. In fact, I think in terms of the numbers that I have any significant impact over, rather than the numbers that I get from the finance department, I've added $2,500 to our books budget on the grounds that everything gets a little bit more expensive every year. I think the only other significant change that was made in terms of, again, those numbers that I control relates to the line for legal fees. In the 8 or 9 years that I've been presenting budgets for the office, it has always been $40,000. Last year, the county executive added additional $40,000 to that based on some specific projects and anticipated as well as unanticipated expenses. This year, I once again requested $40,000, and the county executive has added $20,000 to that, bringing it up to $60,000. I say that in part just to point out that, again, there has been no change in my ask in close to a decade. I don't know that that's reflective of actual legal costs. Supervisor Rose, have you checked your fees the same for the last 10 years? but in any event, that was not my request. It was a request from the county executive, but I certainly welcome it, because I do think that our world is getting more complicated. It's getting more litigious. We still do try to do as much as we can in-house in terms of not hiring outside counsel, but there are instances, whether they are actual or perceived conflicts, whether they are matters that require highly specialized skill, knowledge, or whether it's something that may have either a very quick turnaround time or that is acknowledged will probably be a significant investiture of time and resources. Just to pick one example, from this past year, some of you may know that we were involved in a rather significant public records suit that was brought against the county. The final bill for that is going to be probably just about $10,000. So again, that's a quarter of what we typically budget. And that was something where I felt we had to respond when we were sued. I mean, it wasn't an item that we went out and sought to start that fight. So beyond that, I just do always make sure that everyone is aware, because it's just a little quirky in the way our personnel budget is set up. We do have 6 full-time employees in the office, 4 attorneys, 2 support staff. The budget will reflect that we have 5.7 FTEs. That's because 0.15 of the first assistant, as well as 0.15 of one of the support staff, is charged to a different account in acknowledgement of the fact that they handle our work with WIMIC, and so it's charged to a liability account rather than ours. But we do have 6 people in the office. I don't want anybody thinking we're making do with somehow 5.7. So. With that, I welcome any questions that the committee might have.
John. You said an increase of $2,500 for books and manuals. Are those actually online manuals, or are they actually physical books?
It's a combination. We have been certainly shifting toward some online subscriptions, but there are still a number of things that we receive as hard copies. And it is something that we review to sort of see whether that's still the best way to do it. We have, at least in one instance, a combined subscription where we have both some online stuff and some books. So.
Thanks.
Eric?
If I recall, last year we budgeted that $80,000 in the legal fees for the possible casino contract lawyer fees. Is that correct?
I believe that was part of it, yes.
Okay. Was there a specific reason why the county executive, I know she's here, but I'm going to ask you first, upped it from 40 to 60, or just because of increasing costs and increasing litigation chances of litigation?
I don't know what I can say.
The cases have gotten more complicated.
Okay, just the increases in fees and things like that.
And I think it's also in recognition, and this came up last week at the legislative committee. Again, as I say, it's been $40,000 for a number of years. As those of you who've been on the board for a while are aware, there is language in the budget resolution that money would roll over if it wasn't spent at the end of the year. For a number of years, that was a very nice situation, and we had a fairly significant nest egg that had developed over a number of years. It has not happened for the last couple, and I am highly doubtful that we're going to see that situation coming up again in the future where we won't spend all or most of that money.
Okay, thank you. Motion to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right,
thank you.
Register of Deeds, 287.
Good evening, everyone. You can all know me, but if you don't, I'm Joellen Storrs. I'm the Register of Deeds. It's nice to see you all. I appreciate being able to be squeezed in tonight as I'm going to be attending my association conference tomorrow night. So this is a privilege to be able to come tonight. Is that my budget? I don't really have any. The only increase in expenses I have are personnel-related expenses as far as my office supplies, the small, you know, little expenses that we have and maintain. They're either the same or they're slightly less. You know, I was able to cut a couple hundred here or something along those lines. Our revenue projected for this next fiscal year is going to be a little under what I projected for 2023, and I think you're all aware of the situation in the housing market, flatness of real estate at this time. I can't predict what's going to happen next year. I hope it turns around. It's been flat for a while now. It's due, but I don't know. So that's basically my budget. I mean, it's the same budget I've had for all these years.
All right.
Any questions?
Okay. Through the chair to the budget director, my recall is we're reflecting a small deficit from this department in the report you're providing on the general fund analysis.
Yes,
what's that number?
That's all inclusive of the clerk of courts and register.
Oh, you have that commingled.
It's all together.
But right. What's roughly? What is it roughly?
75 or 100,000.
Because this is showing. I know how this works with the forecast, the way it rolls through. But this is showing about a $300,000 or $400,000 deficit. So.
Right.
But so really, the real deficit is only roughly 50 to 100 grand.
Right.
So,
okay. This year, but yeah. We're being conservative with
yes.
This revenue.
That answered my question. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Okay, then we have the boss of the year for the elected official's office that we have in the county at 45 and 50. So it was myself to me this year to prepare the budget. Mm. And again, this is a very small budget. This is supports 1.5 employees for the office at 45 and 50. I think it's a very popular office with citizens in the county. They appreciate being able to take care of their business out there and not have to drive into town to pay their fines and apply for marriages and get birth certificates and record documents. They can do all that at the office at 45 and 50, and it covers a part-time floater that travels between all the elected officials' offices and then covers when the full-time person in Bristol is out for whatever reason. And there are no increases there other than, again, personnel and benefit increases.
Move approval.
Right. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, next item is the Sheriff's Budget. page 45. Sharon?
Good evening, I'm Sheriff Zerner. I'm here to present our 2024 budget. I'm going to go over a few different sections, our operating expenses, capital expenses, and of course revenue budget. Our largest increase, our largest change are going to be from personnel. As you all know, we had the top of class study. We have a 6.53 personnel increase, and that's going to be comprised of the top in class, some new positions. And of course, that increase. The Deputy Sheriff Association, the deputies and the detectives also, they negotiated two raises during 2024. So those figures of 6.53 is an increase that's a culmination of all those. Contractual services, there's a 15.17% increase. The bulk of that is NAFCARE. That's our medical provider in the jail. There's been multiple increases. The costs have been quite high. Prisoner transport costs have decreased $20,000. We made cuts to some other professional services, telecommunications, vehicle maintenance, our electronic monitoring program, other accounts, that's $49,000. Also, 7.42% decrease in our supplies. The largest cut there is from fuel and furniture. We've talked about fuel in the past, so that's a question mark. I believe the number that we use, the number we utilized for the fuel is 3.63 cents a gallon, and it's been less than that, but of course what's going on in the world stage, we're concerned it might go up a little bit from where it is right now. Capital expenses, overall it's a 12.27% decrease, that's about $237,000. Motor vehicles, it's an increase for us. We're purchasing a replacement boat for the Marine unit, a minivan for prison transports, of course our squads, and then the upfit cost of the squads. With the issues within the motor vehicles, the shortages, so we have some more issues that I'll talk about in the future, you know, back here, but the reality is that we haven't got the squads in a timely fashion, as I think some of you know. Revenue budget overall, it's a 5.26% decrease, it's $508,000. We're expecting an increase in revenue from the following areas. Training reimbursements, that's the Wheeler report. There's an increase for the training reimbursements that we get from the state, which is, that's a bonus. Sale of county property, vehicles that we were slated for auction in 2023, but we couldn't auction them, and the fact that we didn't get new vehicles, so we couldn't replace them. So we're just going with older vehicles, and we're trying to maintain them. Extended supervision fees, those have actually increased. And a possible additional deputy on the Salem Lakes contract, so that in and of itself will offset the increase on that FTE on the first page. Now we're working to decrease the actual cost. Some of the numbers that you see in our budget are high, and they don't reflect the real numbers. So the Board of Prisoners / Huber, that's due to the change in the DOC COVID policies. We're trying to get actual, more realistic with those numbers that you see in our budget. Federal inmate housing, we've had a lot of talk about that. After the loss of ICE, we've been struggling to get that number to a realistic number because it's not on our budget realistic. We had a conversation about U.S. Marshal Service and that contract last time. Since that meeting, I've had a conversation with the district U.S. Marshal. So I see an immediate, very easy $21 per person increase in the very near future, but that's without any negotiating. So I told her that I like to negotiate. So hopefully we get that higher. All right. And then, of course, county ordinance fines, that's a decrease for us. Then probation and parole holds, those have also been in areas where we've seen less revenue. So we're looking at, with all of that, $3 to $4 million projected year-end deficit for this year, all right, which is typically with the overtime, really close to $3 million, but with the added medical expenses, looking more like up to four. Anybody have any questions for me specifically?
Sheriff, maybe you can explain the necessity for the increase in deputies. I think you said either four.
Total deputies? Well, we have
new positions.
One detective.
No, there's only one deputy.
One deputy.
One detective FTE in there, and that's to increase our drug unit. And the other two FTEs are correctional supervision. So the correctional administrator, which is our currently a sworn lieutenant. So that would civilianize that facility administrator out at KCDC. So we brought to the board's attention in 2023, where we reclassified a sworn lieutenant on a retirement to a facility administrator at the pretrial facility. So we're just asking for the actual FTE for the other facility in this budget, which will reallocate our sworn lieutenant back into the crime fighting world, if you will. And then the correctional corporal, when we went to 12-hour shifts, we were on the short side of supervisors. So a correctional corporal will put us, put more supervisors on the floor with this extremely transient and very young workforce that we have. So they need more supervision, more leadership on the floor, and this will just help us to have that coverage.
On the U.S. Marshals contract, assuming you get $21 more, what will that do to the deficit that you're showing?
Well, I don't have a number for you because that's a brand new phone call that we just had. So we haven't even had a chance to put those numbers together. Okay. I don't think it will be substantial. That's why I said I'm not really happy with that number either, because we've been at a vast deficit for a lot of years. So I was clear.
You know, so at our last meeting, when they reported that you might break even if you boosted that up to what was
120. I was told.
Is that contract worth doing?
What's that, sir?
Is that contract worth doing if obviously the 21 would not get to $121? That would still be under 100.
Right.
Is that contract financially worth doing?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I've started working on the cost analysis that was requested at that last meeting. It became very clear, very quickly, that I'm going to need to involve finance in trying to figure out what the actual decrease in expenses will be should we get rid of that revenue line. Because some expenses will not go away with the marshals. So we have to kind of calculate how that's going to affect it. We already know that if we cut that contract, we'll be losing the $1.3 million in revenue. But what expenses are going to be decreased with that loss is a little complicated. So I've got to sit with Patty and Mark on it.
And when do you think that will be a known figure?
Oh. Yeah.
So in terms of the contract,
they
have to go through the Washington, D.C. for us to get approved. So the previous times that we've opened up conversations, they were a hard no on giving us any increase. So this conversation that the sheriff had for the increase of $21 extra a day per U.S. Marshal inmate is interesting, to say the least, that they have some wiggle room now. But to answer your question, monetarily, budgetary-wise, that's a huge hit. We did this already with ICE, right? When we had to rip that Band-Aid off, we had to lay people off or
close to
cut those positions, right? But overall, for the mental health and the overall good of the detention's employee, it's 100% worth not having that contract.
Yeah. Or not have.
Yeah. I mean, those are federal
ICE
prisoners.
Contracts.
Right, those are inmates that are going to federal prison for quite some time. They have nothing to lose. They're our highest acuity in terms of discipline. So the mental health the challenges that they bring to our employees, it's worth the money to not have them. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Tim.
I didn't have my hand up.
Just a question in terms of the contractual experience that we have in terms of having to supply meds, medical care, and so forth to our prisoners. Do you have any type of handle on how the federal inmates proportionally affect that?
We do not pay the federal and
state. Oh, that's right, because they do it themselves. Yeah. Okay.
However, if they go out to the hospital for a visit, a U.S. Marshal requires two deputies.
Right.
To guard them, and none of that is covered by the marshal. So it'll cover the overtime of one deputy, not the second one.
So I think we're on the path that we talked about previously, that this is a losing proposition for the county, both in terms of manpower, morale, finance, and as you look into it, maybe you can find us a way to exit gracefully and with a little bit of less amount of upheaval.
My greatest concern is that we'll be in the same situation we were when we lost ICE, mm-hmm. and it's taken me 3 years to slowly get that revenue line up.
Right.
So that's what I don't want.
So there may be some method to the exit here, and I'm sure that'll be forthcoming, but I think we have a shared interest in having that occur. Second question, either for yourself or Chief Deputy Miller. In terms of both pretrial and KCDC, we have then civilians in charge of the one aspect that we discussed?
So right now, downtown, we have a civilian jail administrator.
Correct.
They replace a sworn lieutenant.
Right.
Subject matter expert, lifelong,
More than qualified.
Yeah, more than qualified, yeah. So during our process for the downtown pretrial, we happen to identify more than one candidate for those positions. So if you don't recall, my ask when we did this was I had a 5-year plan to transition that. Being that we have a very highly qualified candidate for that, that's why I pushed it forward, because the candidate that is qualified has about 3 to 5 years left working, so this is a succession plan that we can not only get this
person. Oh, that was before KCDC?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I understand.
Yep.
Answer my question, thank you. I yield the floor.
Yeah.
Before we go too far on this, I'd like to see the numbers that you guys work on, just to make sure we don't shoot ourselves in the foot.
Sure. Dave?
I'm sorry, I saw Supervisor Nordgren with his hand up first, but if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Chair.
I just want to make a comment. When we lost ICE, that was unexpected. We can plan to exit out of the federal.
I don't know, it was unexpected.
But it happened.
It happened quickly.
We didn't plan for it.
I don't foresee the U.S. Marshals, when we tell them we want a raise or that even we want to scale our contract back, they're going to come in mass exodus their inmates versus the way that ICE did with the detainees, right? I think it's a different dynamic. Marshals doesn't have a lot of facilities that will play the game, if you will. We do their U.S. We do their airlift. We do all their transportations from other facilities down to their court in Milwaukee. So I think it's a different dynamic. I think there may be opportunity to scale it back, maybe over a 3-year period versus just, come get your inmates and roll in the buses like we did with ICE detainees.
We can plan for it.
I mean, it's up to them, right? If we tell them that we want to break up, it's up to them, really.
Yeah.
But as far as financially goes, to prepare for it, it would be the same situation that we're in right now, where every year we slowly have to decrease that revenue line.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, through the chair to the budget director, we have $1,843,000 scheduled in line 445801, federal inmate housing. How much of that is for U.S. Marshal?
I can answer that.
Okay, happy to.
I am thinking 1.2 to 1.3 is going to be the marshals, which means we're almost done scaling back ICE.
Okay, so there's still a little bit of ICE in there.
Yeah.
How much is ICE?
I'd have to do the math and subtract.
So the difference between the 1.2 and the 1.45 is ICE?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
So if we got this extra revenue, this $21 per day on a $1.2 million number, if that number is feasible, which I'll talk to the budget director about that, then we still are going to have a deficit because of the ICE anyway. So we have a deficit budgeted in this.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So The 1.2, 1.3 is actual money that we do get in from the U.S. Marshals.
Right.
So if we were to increase the daily rate that we receive, then that 1.2, 1.3 is going to go up, and we may not have to decrease the rest of ICE out of the budget.
I get that. So yeah. that would get you ahead of the game as far as the phase out. But if we were to increase this line this year, we already have a deficit.
Right.
So all we're going to really do with that $21 an hour, if we were to think about that, is just
play catch up.
It help eliminate the deficit. All those $21 on $71 is a pretty good percentage. It might overcome the $250,000 deficit that we budgeted there. So, but probably best to leave that line. And then I saw the budget director wanting to respond, but I can also comment that the plan from the committee from our last meeting was to get a report in Q1. So we didn't plan to react during the budget. We planned to react, not react, but get a report in Q1 on this subject matter. So that was the plan that we made. And with that, I yield.
All right. Anyone else, John?
Yeah, I'm just curious. So the revenue loss for this program, would that exceed the expense cost, or you're not sure what the expense cost? That's what you have to figure out.
Yeah, that's what we have to figure out, is like what portion of the expenses for the detention center are sunk costs that we're going to have to pay regardless, and what percentage is going to be actually directly attributed to the marshals. So those ones would be the only ones that would decrease.
What's your take on that?
I'm just worried about the revenue line.
If you think about it, it's not going to be that much.
It's really not going to be.
If you have 70 inmates,
right?
So it's going to be the cost of feed, clothes, you can't really put a number on the electricity, the water, all that stuff. Because we still have to run the jail.
Right.
It won't be like that.
It's going to be a small cost. It's not going to knock anyone's pants off.
It won't be as significant as it was with ICE.
360 would be the number if we
Because
$21 raise.
45 to 50 people is around the average of U.S. Marshals, and that's not really enough to have to do any type of, or be able to do any type of layoffs. We don't get to close the dorm or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Bye. I'd like to pass out some budget resolution language in light of in discussions with the Sheriff's Department's finance people. I wanted to propose some budget resolution language addressing this. Take a moment just to let that get passed around.
We'll go through the whole budget resolution on Thursday, okay. But since this is pertinent to the Sheriff's Department, I felt that it's necessary to bring
that. This would be in that.
This would be in that document on Thursday when we review the overall budget resolution. So the whereases have to do with the $70 per inmate. The rate has not changed since 97. 1.3 million is the reimbursement revenue per year. We know that the expense of the housing of these inmates includes not only variable costs, but then some costs, fixed costs, like Angela noted. So we're requesting that we work with the Sheriff's Department fiscal staff to work with all the available data, and that by the end of the first quarter of next year, we'll come to the Finance Committee and prepare a report and show what our calculations are.
Right.
In response to this.
Any other discussion on the resolution or the budget?
Yes, Jim.
So on the discussion of the budget language, I think this is just setting in policy that we'll look at this in Q1, mm-hmm. right?
It is.
But we don't commit to doing it in Q1 here, right?
It does say yeah. by the end of first quarter.
Oh.
The very last.
Whether to continue to house or not.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. So, of the 1.2 million that we're planning for U.S. Marshal in 2024, are we going to achieve that in 2023?
I think the projection is in that 1.1.
So we're short by about 100 grand.
Yeah.
So if the 1.1 goes up 30%, which is a $21 on a $70, that gets you to that 1,450,000.
Which is where we budgeted, right?
Yeah, so it kind of wipes out the deficit.
Yeah.
Okay. I yield. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Would you like a motion on this language?
Actually,
or
yes.
Or just wait till the okay.
That way,
is it in the resolution?
It's
already
in the budget resolution. If you pass it, then we can skip over that on Thursday. But if you want
to, I would move to add there. This language to the budget resolution.
Is there a second? Who second? All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye on the resolution.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, on the budget, anything further?
I would move approval of the sheriff's budget.
Second.
Further discussion on the resolution? Seeing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Pass it.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is joint services, page 85. All right, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for having me tonight. Joint services budget was approved by the Joint Services Board unanimously on August 22nd. The operating budget for joint services for 2024 was approved at $11,495,117. There is an increase in expenditures of $475,741. The majority of the increases come from personnel services. There was an increase in wages in 2023 with the implementation of the comp study. And for 2024, a 2% wage increase for employees. There were two other items that impact the personnel services. That is a 5% increase to our health insurance renewal, which is actually significantly lower than it was originally estimated. Pleasantly surprised that it came at 5%, quite frankly. We were expecting somewhere around 7-8%, so the board was very happy with that. In working with the police and the sheriff's department, we have been dealing with an issue dealing with significant increases in digital evidence requests. So that's requests for video, audio, recordings and those types of things. Year over year, the last 3 years, we've been seeing 35% increases in the number of requests coming in to handle or for those types of digital media. And then in addition to that, both the police and sheriff's department have implemented over the last few years the body cameras and all of that. So the amount of digital evidence that's out there has increased significantly on top of what they've requested. So working with the police and the sheriff's department, we're trying to come up with efficient ways to handle these requests because it is taking up multiple personnel within every department. But what we did in for the 2024 budget was adding a position, an FTE, for the handling of the digital evidence to try to take some of the workload off of the sheriff and the police department and handle that through joint services. Joint services already handles the majority of the physical evidence that comes through for release. But this would try to make this a more efficient process and take some of that workload off of the departments. So that really accounts for that the majority of the expense increase that we're seeing in the 2024 budget. We've also had about $75,000 in contractual services increases. We're just seeing increases across the board with the contracts that we have, mainly in the 911 system. And in the IT services and software contracts that we have. We have a contract with ComSys Inc. that does all of our IT services. They're a private company. We have a 5% increase for them for next year. So that's really what's eating up the majority of our expense increases. We have a slight decrease in supplies and materials of about $18,000, and that's really just due to the Sheriff's Department shifting where they're getting the fuel from. All of the fuel runs through joint services from the public safety building, so we account for all of those costs. But the Sheriff's Department's patrol has really shifted to doing a lot of fueling out at Kenosha County Center when they shifted to the take-home squads. So we've seen a decrease in the amount of fuel being used at the PSB. Capital expenditures, we have an increase of about $23,000 in capital expenditures, and that's just related to replacing some furniture in records and in communications. Some old desks that need to be replaced to try to keep up with that equipment working out the way it's supposed to. That really accounts for all of the increases in the Joint Services budget for 2024. I did want to point out that last year we had some discussions on the brake lathe for the Fleet Maintenance Department. It was about $17,000 item that we had to purchase. So far this year, we've saved in parts about $7,500 since that was implemented in the middle of March. So we're starting to see return on investment on that item. So I want to thank the board for supporting that, and we hope that continues. We know that since COVID, we've had some significant issues in keeping up with finding parts. It's been difficult from time to time, and with the strike with the UAW, we're expecting going forward that that's going to continue to be an issue, and probably even more so than what we've experienced here recently. So something we're trying to stay on top of, but we are concerned about it. So with that said, that's the operating budget for Joint Services, and I can answer any questions.
Dave? Through the chair to the budget director, of this $350,000 levy increase, how much of that was impacted by the apportionment change?
About half of it.
Oh, so really it's not operational, it's just the way the function of the formula.
Yeah.
So the city got a decrease in apportionment,
right,
and more went out to the other county municipalities.
Right. Last year it was the other way around, so between the 2 years it kind of evened out.
Thank you, I yield.
Anyone else?
Just to recapitulate on FTEs, are you adding your proposal of one FTE for digital information dissemination, is that correct?
That is correct, yes. It would be one person to the evidence identification department, so we would try to spread the workload so it's not all one person, right. But it would increase that.
So whether it was KPD or KSD, request command, that individual could handle the request, is that correct?
Correct.
That's my question, thank you.
Anyone else?
With approval.
Is there a second?
We have a question here from Supervisor.
Yeah, is there a second first? I'm not going to overlook. Yeah.
I'll second.
All right. Zach?
Thank you, Supervisor Rose. For the position that's getting added, I know the chief deputy's left, but we spoke about that. The county's going to pick up the brunt of that cost, or all of the costs, is my understanding. Is that correct?
It goes through the formula, so it'd be split between the city and county.
Okay. But the county, according to the chief deputy, will be providing the training for that individual?
So,
can you just explain that?
Yes. Yeah. So that person will need to be, quite a few members of the staff will need to be working with the police and the sheriff's department, because it's going to be operating their digital media systems, their camera systems. In the case of the police department, it's a Motorola system. In the case of the sheriff's department, it's the body worn camera system. So there's going to need to be some training in that area with both departments.
And then going forward to wages, where does this put our dispatchers in comparison to the counties around us where we know that we're lagging?
So we're still, in comparison to Racine County, we're still slightly lower. Walworth County, we're pretty much on par with. And then, of course, the Illinois agencies are always higher than us. But Illinois is really going through some significant changes with consolidations right now, and they're reducing the number of 911 centers. So we're seeing some, not sure where that's going to go at this point, so we're just kind of monitoring it, but still significantly lower than Illinois.
That's all. Thank you.
Anyone else? Ready to vote? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, the next budget item is District Attorney and Victim Witness at page 61. Mike?
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Helps to have some budget vision. That's huge.
So we sent around through Barna a fact sheet of our increases and decreases. We brought a copy in case anybody needs one.
Thank you. No, everyone has it.
Should I start?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm here. I always like to present information about any reductions in the discretionary items that we've done, as well as any increases. And so I just want to cover that really briefly with you. So the budget that we present today is has $110,000 of reductions from what last year's discretionary items were. The major pieces of that are the $70,000 for the Jensen case. As many of you know, I think we spent about $40,000 of that, so $30,000 was just unspent, and I think goes back to general revenue in that situation. But you budgeted $70,000. Of course, we're not requesting that, as the Jensen case is now successfully concluded yet again. Should I knock on wood? Then also we're now done with project permanency, so the termination of parental rights contributions that this county board has really, I think, very wisely funded over the last several years. Ron Rogers did a financial impact thing that came out this year, where he said that his estimate is that of the 52, I think there were 99 kids altogether that were finally covered in some fashion by this. We managed to get those kids into permanent homes at least 6 months earlier on average, and saved the county $978,000 of foster care money. I round that up to $1 million just because you guys have taught me well. So saved $1 million based on the county board's wise funding of that. And so that $28,000 in the other professional services is now done because that project is finished. We no longer have the increase in foster care population. We're back to the numbers we had before, and of course we have one dedicated TPR prosecutor who doesn't need that additional funding. And then there are obviously smaller items that were cut mildly that reached that 110. We're asking for two increases. One of those is we were very fortunate in the state budget. The governor and the legislature combined to give us two new permanent prosecutor positions. Those had been our ARPA positions, our funded ones. But of the, I think there were only three in the entire state, and we got two. Of those. Those meet the challenges that were presented by our circuit courts, who dealt with the backlog of cases by increasing the number of criminal branches. I think they had to do that, and it was a wise move, but that meant we had to be in more places and more prosecutors were necessary. You guys have heard me talk about that. And so now those are permanent positions, because that changed from our criminal court judges in terms of number of places we have to be has also changed. We are fully staffed. There have been some DA's offices, as you guys know, who've had a real challenge in getting their staffs filled, but we have not had the same problems that other counties have had. We know we've had blips at certain moments, but never consistently, and we're fully staffed at this time with those positions. So the $73,000 in salaries, that's those ARPA positions that you guys gave us as support staff for those two ARPA prosecutors. But now that we have those permanent positions, that is a paralegal and victim witness person to support that extra branch of court, half a branch of court that is now increased and supports those two additional prosecutors. So that's that money. The telecommunications increase is, those are five, this funds, the 2,500 is five phones for our victim witness advocates, so our individual victim witness advocates. We've been advised by numerous sources, different sources, that because they are on the phone, they at this point use their personal phones because we have no phones for them, and they're in communication with victims and witnesses all the time during trials at all hours of the day and night, and just to keep people apprised, right? We're making sure they're going to be on their flights. We're telling them, is it going to be Tuesday or do we not need you till Wednesday? And so because they're using their personal phones, there are real security concerns. And so we've been told multiple times that that's just not safe and good practice for our sort of frontline professionals to be on personal phones and having to make those kind of contacts and having people have that personal phone information of theirs. So this allows them to do their job in the safest fashion. As you all have heard, you know, our office has had death threats and other things that happened a couple of years ago that certainly still have an impact on people and make them very cautious about, you know, their personal information being out there with the world. So so that $2,500 is $500 per phone in terms of the entire process. Because, again, of the state budget, we have what I think is a fairly significant increase in our revenues this year, too. The victim witness reimbursement has gone up $59,900. So we come here today telling you that we have been told by the state that they'll be paying to this county for that victim witness reimbursement an additional essentially $60,000. So if you look at those together, our total reduction of budget, when you do the reduction and the increase, was 34. I'm bringing $60,000 more in revenue. I don't get any credit for that, but it is here. So I think I'm here $100,000 better than last year's budget. And hoping that that shows us to be a good steward of the taxpayers' money today.
All right, Dave.
Through the chair to the budget director. Thank you, just for briefly. We have $117,000 levy increase on the budget, right? And we have the decreases that we see in the report. Is the major thing driving the increase the ARPA revenue line, where we're phasing that out?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's the ARPA and it's class on comp wages.
So that 270 is down to 50. Was that just a phase out of that?
It was an elimination of the 70,000 for the Jensen trial.
Yeah.
And it was a reduction of the 200,000 that we had in there for the support positions,
yeah,
down to 50,000 for half a year worth of half of the cost for this year for those two support positions.
Okay, so you're phasing them onto the levy using ARPA.
Correct.
And you're putting 50 in to get that phase.
Right, and next year we'd have to phase it, or we'd phase in the other 50.
Right. But that answers my question. I yield. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Move to approve.
Or is there a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. The next item is juvenile intake at 77. Gary.
I did have a handout. Does everyone have a copy?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. For those of you I've not had the opportunity to meet, I'm Mary Byer. I'm the Director of Juvenile Court Intake. I'm here tonight, of course, to present my request for 2024. As you can observe from my handout, there are several line items that I'm recommending changes to for next year. Starting at the top with the Personnel Appropriation Unit, County Administration is recommending an increase of $35,195, primarily due to the class and comp adjustments, as well as adding $6,000 in funds to cover expenses for a part-time intern. Next, I'm recommending a 10% decrease in both the direct labor and mileage travel accounts based on prior year's expenses. Moving on in lines 4 and 5, County Administration is recommending changes to both the public liability and the other insurance line items. The public liability line item will increase by $834. And the expenses in the other insurance line item will be absorbed within the internal service fund. Last but not least, the two remaining line items I referenced in the handout relate directly to the housing of juveniles and secure detention. The other professional services line item is being decreased by $18,000 based on projections in the anticipation of again using carryover funds in 2024. The secure detention revenue account is being decreased due to a significant drop in child support collections for juvenile court related placements. In summary, I am recommending an overall $38,763 increase for 2024. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
All right, discussion.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, discussion on the motion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, now we're at Circuit Court. That's the last one for the evening. Way ahead of schedule here. So. Who's going to present it? All right.
Yes. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Page 69.
69.
Well, good evening. Thank you for letting me present the 2024 budget. As you can see, there's a $70,000 decrease on levy, reporting. And this is due to an increase in revenues, a significant increase in revenues, and some decreases in the expenses. I'll go through the expenses first. I'm not going to go line by line because they go back and forth a little bit, but the most significant ones are in juror fees, expense 527,100, an increase of $30,000. We are seeing an increase in our jury trials. The criminal filings are up, so we're asking for that. Interpreter fees, 527,230, an increase of $83,000. That is based on almost double rate increases across all interpreters, not just Spanish speaking, but some of the rare languages can even be $400 an hour. We do use some video means for that, but again, they're still significant. So that's based on this year's projections. And then on our advocate council, we are asking for an additional $31,000. There has been an attorney shortage. The public defender has not been, prior to this year, was paying at a reduced rate, so attorneys were not taking public defender appointments and waiting for the county to appoint at our $100 hour rate. And now the public defender rate has changed to that $100 an hour, so there's less competition for that. But the attorney bills are not submitted, so for this year we're going to again see an increase on that level. In terms of revenue, there's a $60,000 decrease to our child support revenue, and I attribute that to a decrease in the number of filings, and additionally our change of juvenile court location from intake court over to court. Our 300 court commissioner, Heather Iverson, she won't be hearing as many family cases, so there'll be a decrease in the reporting of her time that is actually part of that reimbursement. We have an increase in bond defaults of $100,000, and that has occurred because we use state debt collection as one of our bill collectors, and they're just very aggressive at seeking the dollars owed on debts we certify. The most significant increase is in line 448120, our interest in courts and investment. We had proposed a $190,000 increase to that account because, again, it's based on the aggressive collections from state debt collection. But Barna's also given me indication that the court's investment portion of that, that they're trending upwards on that too. So if you take a look at that line item, it's not like you can take that June dollar amount and just double it for our December, because most of our collections will come during tax intercept time from January to May. So the following 6 months won't trend that way. But again, Barna says that his portion of that account should exceed that dollar amount. So I'm going to rely on his expertise, and he's never failed me yet in 20 years of presenting budgets. So I have full faith that the budget that's being presented to you tonight that we'll be able to meet, okay, if not exceed.
All right, discussion. Bill.
A question on line item 445100. Bond defaults for county, it looks like in 2022 we were budgeted at 180 and now we're budgeting at 280. Can you delve into that and give us your impressions?
Because our we are projecting greater than that, because again, in June, even though we're at 140, we're going to exceed that with that aggressive collection on that default from the state debt collection.
So explain to us in common language what that means, bond defaults for the county. What does that mean physically and actually?
Okay, so you could have posted $5,000 cash, and then you don't appear for court, or you commit another crime, something like that. And if the court forfeits that bond, then those dollars come to my office, comes to that line item. Now, if you, if the court commissioner or judge issues you a signature bond that says your name is worth $1,000, and the same thing happens, you owe the county that dollar amount, and then we take judgment on that, and we continue those collection efforts. And this is old debt too, so it's not like this is going to continue ad nauseum for years and years and years, because this is old debt that we're finally able to take matters that take collection efforts where we weren't able to prior to certifying into the state debt collection.
So long story short is, compared to years past, we're looking at people defaulting or not being able to carry through with their bond, is that correct?
Yes, for years and years. Okay. Right. So it's not just this year's the people who are going to default. It's okay. The years past that owe us those dollars.
So it's a cumulative type thing is what
yes.
you're saying.
Yes.
That answers my question, thank you.
Aaron?
So when you say it's from years past, eventually we will have basically cleared all those past ones, so this number will not be as high. It will be like just the current year, correct?
Right now we're collecting on that line item and other line items within there too, the debt of people who thought, okay, I forgot, I was young and naive, I didn't do it, didn't get notice for years, and now all of a sudden they're getting notice from the state debt collection agency, and the interest is accumulated over the years. That's that interest line too. That's why that's increasing so much. We get many phone calls that says, this is 20, you know, well, not 20, it has to be less than 20 years old. I thought I paid it. No, you didn't pay it. It's been sold. I don't remember doing it. Here, prove to us that it's not wrong. We get questions like that. Oh, the interest is more than the fine. Can you waive the interest? I won't waive the interest. You knew you owed us. This is a you problem, not a me problem.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Becky. Through the chair to the budget director. The levy analysis that we get. We talked earlier about the ROD being netted into other accounts that shows on our, on the general fund analysis, what I'm trying to get at. And here we're seeing pretty healthy growth in the bond defaults and on the interest earnings. And my recall is that the number in the general fund analysis is a little less than what I'm seeing here, but maybe my memory's wrong. Do we have, is that trending good to help us? Because we had, the last month we had a small decline, and maybe we're closer to break even.
Yeah, we've learned in the years that we've kind of ratcheted this general fund analysis that the elected officials' revenue does fluctuate quite a bit.
Yeah.
So we're conservative, so if we're trending at a deficit, maybe if it's showing at $400,000, we show it at a $200,000, thinking that if it pogos back down, then we're in a better spot for it.
So, pogo back down.
Yeah.
Definitely to be conservative is good, but this does look like we're close to balancing versus the report that we saw
last
finance
committee.
Right. It looks like maybe even a surplus from the numbers I've seen in the forecast. Oh, I know the forecast isn't a solid column here.
Right.
From what I've seen in this budget and what we've been able to do with revenue, I think we're going to have that general fund number is going to have a small increase. So
I agree.
I know we have a couple months to go.
The other line item we included that is a county clerk's office, and their revenues have also improved, especially in the passport revenue that had been lagging over the last few years because of COVID, not many people getting their passports renewed.
I mean, that speaks to the 23 budget being pretty solid.
Yeah.
It looks like it's heading towards balance and not that small deficit that we saw. I yield.
Aaron?
One more question. Do you know the balance or how much money plus interest is owed in back bond payments and
interest.
Joint custody? No, what am I? Interest in the court's investment.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
It's because that that's a cumulative report for as long as CCAP's been in.
Okay.
Plus all the backloaded information, so it's not just that 20-year judgment, which is what state debt collection can go after.
Okay.
So it is millions and millions of dollars.
Okay.
Because the people in prison, when they're fined costs and everything like that, that would be into those collection dollar amounts too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Just a background question before we finish up. You know, we have been adding circuit court branches as of late, and you can comment, and also you, Mr. Chair, being in the legal trade as well. How are we doing, just in your professional opinion, keeping up with the demands placed by Kenosha County for court filings of all stripes? I mean, where are we at? What's your impression?
So a study was done by the National Court Management Organization, and word Kenosha County is down at least two judges, but the legislature can't, you know, prioritize that more further down the list. So that probably won't happen for a number of years. Criminal case filings are up. We keep adding DAs. We're not adding judges. Last August, or recently, maybe 18 months ago, the judges realigned. They gave another half branch of criminal rotation to the judges and modified the civil and family rotations where those filings were down. So come next August, there'll be another rotation. So I'm sure the chief judge will review that analysis again to see which way they're trending. So we are in need of judges. Our commissioners have the busiest dockets. They run Monday through Friday, and they take a lot of the preliminary work off the judges. In terms of staff, our staff are keeping up too. Our conversion of electronic files from paper has diminished. I had anticipated it being done by now, but because of the workload on the criminal side and that impact with the addition of no additional staff has decreased that, you know, less important task of converting the electronic files.
So your impression is we're a little bit short on judges. We could use more.
Mm-hmm.
We could use more commissioners. You said the report stated that we're down for a county of our size and the amount of filings we have, at least two branches. Is that correct?
Yeah, if I'm recalling correctly, yes.
So, and again, this is not for this particular discussion this evening, but just in general, what can we as a county board do, if anything, to speed this process along and say, you know, we're a county on the grow here, we need more attention, we need more assistance. You can either offer suggestions now or at a further date, if we can do anything in terms of us as a legislative body to speed the process along.
The additional branches of court,
yes,
are done through the state, through the legislature. So at budget time is when they allocate those.
Okay.
Another thing you have to take into consideration is even once the once it's approved in the state budget, we still have to have the court here. We'll have to find the courtrooms that will you know, involve an extensive remodel. Our spare courtroom is not judge worthy. And so that would mean moving my staff around into the building, perhaps evicting corporation counsel. So, you know, there's, you know, because
so
we were building
a lot. Even if we got funding from the state, just our physical limitations here would have some concerns, is what you're saying.
Correct. That would be, you know, additional funding from the county board for our,
sure,
infrastructure,
yeah,
the timing of that as well, too.
Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
Right. Further discussion? Just curiosity, what are the bailiffs getting anything more? Or?
Yes. I'm sorry. I missed that part of my handout or my notes. The increases are bailiffs to $40 a session. Currently, they're at $38 a session. The session can start as early as 7:30 and go till noon, and the afternoon session is noon to 5. So it is really, they don't necessarily have to work that entire time period. They could work half hour, but they could work the entire time too. Our GAL contract, there's a 3.5 increase to them. Our per diem court commissioners, that our attorneys that fill in for our court commissioners when they're at conferences, because again, they have the busiest busiest dockets, conferences and vacations, there's a 1% increase to $176.75 a session. As you know, you're charging more than that per hour, much less per 4 hours. And our court reporter, we have a half-time court reporter, actual physical court reporter in our intake building for the morning sessions, which are a heavy transcript producing court, and we increased her by 4% to 120 a half day. So those are our contract increases.
All right, thank you. Further discussion? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
For approval.
Discussion on the proposition? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Becky.
Thank you very much.
All right, that concludes the evening agenda. Is there anything further to bring before the committee regarding the budget tonight? All right, seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? See you tomorrow at 6.